Good afternoon on this beautiful day, Steve. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good.
Frank, I started out the show by saying, let's talk about what Penn State didn't do Saturday. They didn't turn the ball over. What, in the end, does everything feed off of that?
Oh, I think it definitely does. I mean, look at the Big Ten statistics. Right now, Penn State, I think, is third total offense, fourth in total defense. How does that compute to 1-5? It doesn't, really, except not only the turnovers, but the disastrous turnovers.
Yes.
You take those away, I mean, I'm thinking Penn State has at least three wins right now.
All right, so now let's get to how the game played out. They scored in the opening drive for the second time this season because they scored against Indiana in the opening drive. They played with the lead throughout. The game was tied once, but they played with the lead almost throughout, Frank. What does that mean to the mentality of a team when they're the ones as the lead dog?
Well, I think it allows you to play, maybe feel more comfortable with your strengths. And to me right now, they can run block a little better.
Yeah.
Then they can do some other things. But can you really afford to run block when you're always down by more than a touchdown?
Right.
You know, you can't. But you could see where I think they feel good about that. You must feel positive about the way that the two rookie running backs, especially Lee, kind of handled the situation. I mean, he did not look like a rookie in the way he handled the game as it went on. Some of his patience, you know, waiting, finding, bouncing out to the free space. I mean, but that's because you have the lead and you can do that, right?
Exactly. So, and that makes a big difference.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the defense fed off that a little bit too. I mean, that was their best, at least, performance, I think, from beginning to end, energy-wise, focus-wise. They are who they are. There's still some issues, but they gave it from beginning to end. And even when they had the bad break at the end, you know, the effort was, it did not dip, which is a good sign.
Sean Clifford, I want to get to him next. What did you think of how he played and how he seemed to play within himself on Saturday?
Well, I was waiting for him to do that. In a sense that I kind of, you know, I mean, I was not disagreeing that Will Levis should have had a shot because I think you had to, but giving up on
Sean. I agree.
It's just because, I mean, it's not just what he did last year. It's who he was coming into the Penn State program. There was every reason to believe he was a success because of how he grew up, how he matured, how he did in high school, you know, how he handled himself early at Penn State. If he could just dial it back a little bit. I mean, I can't say he probably wants to be known as a game manager, but that's what he did, and that's what this team needed. And I think that's, they just need to embrace their identity because it's who they are now, not who they hope to be. And that's not their fault. It's a lot of it's to do with the situation and the injuries. They have to embrace what they can do best now, and he handled that.
We, in a world where often there is talk about five stars, and justifiably, five stars, a lot of them come in and they play, you know, we saw Micah Parsons, they can play off the chart.
Sure.
But Drew Hartlob and Isaac Lutz were two contributors that are walk-ons to this. In other words, an old-fashioned way of getting it done. What do you think of stories like that, the Drew Hartlobs, the Isaac Lutzes of the world, that then emerge and help you be a part of a win?
Well, you need them in football because you need so many players. I mean, you need so many guys, and the star rating doesn't guarantee you're not going to get hurt. It doesn't guarantee you're going to be able to adjust. So you need guys, and Drew's from your county, from our area, so
yep.
We're quite familiar with him. But you go back, I mean, you know, the last time Penn State had a losing season was 2004, and you really didn't know what the offense was going to be the next year. But you had two guys, you had Deion Butler, you had Jordan Norwood, and no one knew anything about them. They probably had one star between them. But that's, you know, you find guys that elevate themselves, and you need them. You have to have them. And especially Isaac's a senior. I mean, you know, talk about sticking with it through everything and looking like he belonged out there. This was not somebody who, in a sense, was just forced onto the. I mean, he did his job and he looked confident doing it. And yeah, it's the best part about it.
Up front in the trenches, the offensive line, there were times where they used a sixth offensive lineman. More often than not, that was Juice Scruggs. What did you think about their performance on Saturday against Michigan?
Oh, I think it's what, I mean, they go back to run blocking. I mean, I think that's what they're good at. And you didn't get a chance to see it as much. And the young guys, Caden's doing a great job. I think he's, you know, could be their most talented lineman out there. But Drew Scruggs being able to contribute the way he is a little more each week with what he battled back from.
Right.
And I think they got to be able to own that line to be able to beat a team like Rutgers, which is going to come at you from like eight different angles with all their energy and well-coached, and they're feeling like they can do whatever. You're going to need to control it from beginning to end the way they did against Michigan and just plow through. And I think raise it up another notch even, because I think you can get more out of the run game even than what they did. I think Keziah Holmes has more to show than what, you know, he has been able to do. So I think that's a real positive.
Before the game, James Franklin said that they, when it came to Sean Clifford and Will Levis, quote, we'll need both of them going forward. We saw it on Saturday, both of them play. How did you feel about the usage of Will Levis within this offense?
I did really like it. I thought the opener at Indiana when they put him in looked, for some reason, just felt awkward. But I think at this point, with who they are, where they're headed, I think it just felt different against Michigan when Will came in. It felt like it was useful. It felt needed. And I think Will Levis handled it well. I mean, he's really another running back, a fullback in those situations, and he does it confidently. And that's kind of the style of college football. I mean, it seems like almost every team has a guy like him now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rutgers certainly does. So, I think they do need him. It'd be interesting to see when Will comes in those situations when he's, you know, we go back to when he's going to throw the ball, because I think, you know, you set that up and that's going to be there.
Which is interesting because you and I, of course, were both in San Antonio for the Alamo Bowl when Penn State beat Texas A&M and Anthony Morelli was the quarterback. But as you recall, Frank, they went with a package of plays with Darrell Clark in the same mode as the way Will Levis was used, but they were all runs. And I asked Jack Ham, and I were talking with Galen Hall and Jay Paterno after the game, and the question we had was simple. I said, did you have a pass play in there for Darrell? And Jay said they ran five of those plays. He said play six was a pass. And I think that's important moving forward. The point you just made, Frank, you said, look, that's still a quarterback back there.
Well, yeah, and Rutgers, Johnny Langdon did that
exactly
last week.
Yep.
And boom, I mean, you know, everybody cheats up, and his receiver is blowing past guys, and he makes the easy throw, and it's there. And I think you haven't really seen Penn State do that with Will, you know, in those situations yet, but I think it looks to me like that's where we're headed, because I think that's going to be his role if everybody stays healthy, and I definitely think that's going to be there.
Right, exactly. So I want to get back to Kevon Lee for a moment. I always find it interesting when a true freshman shows patience when they run the ball. How patient did you think he looked? It looked to us, it looked very patient. Like he set up his blocks, we thought, pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know how much his instincts. I mean, coaching. Yeah. When he was recruited, I know some guys liked him as a linebacker because of his size and his skills. And you really thought he might be the bigger project out of all five of these former running backs. But, I mean, boy, stepping in and handling it. And, you use true freshman running backs. But, you know, he does look to me like, you know, he's got the solid lower frame and just the feel, like you said, the feel of it so early. And you have to have it because, you know, you're struggling. You know, there's not options all over the field. You got to make your own. And he, you know, impressively, he did that. I mean, I remember, go back to, you know, when Curtis Enos came on, he was tried at linebacker a little bit early, and he had to play as a true freshman and kind of the same, maybe not the same exact body build, but I don't know. There's some similarities in the way they both handled the early situations for me.
Yeah, no question. And I was impressed by what he did in the game on Saturday. All right, so now moving forward, what do you think moving forward? Because obviously Rutgers, I give them credit. They went in and I watched some of the Purdue game in the airport. And I was impressed by what I saw in terms of how they used the two quarterbacks. And you're right, Langen came in the game, and he was running the ball. And by the way, he's 9 of 9 passing this year.
Yeah, exactly. So they're taking advantage. They just have an energy. I mean, they play like they feel like they can win without the best talent. They can come out of any hole. You know, you have to play 60 minutes against them. Even if you get the lead early, they're not going away. And, again, the linebackers are going to have to come up and play big. You know, they're going to have to get good run support on some of these guys like Langdon. And, you know, got a really tough tailback too. But, I think Penn State's going to have to – I mean, confidence is what you hope,
yes.
Right, is infused here. To be able to play at the level that you should be, and that maybe, you know, the hope is that you taste that, you move forward, and you look at and embrace who you are, and you go out and do it a little better next week. And it's on you, right? It's, I mean, you got to prepare for Rutgers, but you do what you do as Penn State. I think you take care of business.
Well, they get the win, and. Oh, I have to ask you about the batting play. I have to ask you about that. I'll be honest about it. I thought that if there was going to be a penalty on the play, it would just be, okay, Michigan ball at the spot of the batting. I never in a million years thought there was a 10-yard penalty. I said earlier in the show that to the credit of Michigan, if you put every box of what you can do wrong in a play, they checked every box in the play and got a first down.
Exactly, yeah. The team that puts in the greatest, most successful effort to me should never be penalized for doing such. But if that's not the most 2020 play in this season, and you wondered, I mean, it's kind of a good test for Penn State because after everything they've been through on that day and that in the season, you had to be able to pick yourself up because it didn't make any sense. And you saw where a former official, you know, tweeted out after the game or whatever, that was the wrong call because he didn't bat it forward.
Right, and that was my point. That was my point in the broadcast. He batted it to the side.
Right, he swatted to the not the ball didn't just go to the side. He swatted it from the side, trying to keep it. Which the former official, that should not be a penalty at all, and which makes sense. I mean. It just goes back to when you're 7 years old playing in the playground. You do that kind of effort. How does the other team benefit from it? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's the part that got me. So the team that does everything wrong, right, allows the rush to come in, quarterback rolls out, quarterback fumbles the ball. The other team hustles to get to the quarterback. The other team hits the quarterback. The other team keeps the ball in play because they're hustling and running and then recover the ball, and they get nothing.
Steve, I don't think the officials, to be honestly, I don't think they quite knew exactly what to do because they may have never seen such a thing maybe to themselves.
Right. And I actually talked about that with my class this morning about you're going to encounter situations you've never seen before. I have never encountered a situation like that before.
They should get help, though, I'm thinking.
You would think so. Yeah. So I know a lot of people think I need help, but that's a different story, Frank.
You handle yourself very well.
Frank, you're the best. Thanks so much, my friend. Appreciate the time very, very much. I always enjoy it.
Oh, thank you. Have a great week and a good trip to New Jersey.